broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, I used protection, but it wasn't...
Wait, you tell me you did not pull hard when you pulled three.
After the tragic massacre in Tucson...
I'm the head of a major corporation. I can't spend all day increasing market share and...
That's just the way it is.
Bleeping retarded.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, where truth is our bitch. Security is going to be tight for the Super Bowl this weekend, and a mom goes on Dr. Phil to talk about how she disciplines her kid, and she goes to jail for it. And if there's one thing that is a constant in our society with the access that we have to... to performing on camera for the general public, to showing the world what our world looks like, whether it is on YouTube or other places, the one thing that we have found out is that people want to show you their world, even if it means they're going to go to jail.
Yeah, I'm throwing a dog.
They're throwing the dog, those Marines, all of that stuff. Those kids that, you know, that film the fights, the bum fights. People are so dumb or so hard up for attention, they'll do it even though they...
Well, what about a guy that's going to, you know, like Ghost Rider, or we call Ghost Whip?
Ghost Whip? You mean those clowns that are jumping off their car and then jumping back in? I don't know what you call that. That one guy I saw, I thought I was going to die laughing. Oh, my God, I thought I was going to strangle. That jackass jumped out of his car, and the car ran right into a tree.
Yeah, it was like a truck.
Yeah, it was a truck. Unreal. All right, 877-876-PHIL, and of course our website is philhendryshow.com. I want you to pay close attention because this week we have another item coming into our merchandise store, and that's the official Phil Hendry Show shot glass. There it is. Those of you watching on the video cast, this is a beautiful thing. The shot glass will be in our merchandise store this week and certainly makes for a marvy gift for the forthcoming, spring, as spring comes upon us, and summertime, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, right around the corner. And if you're going to use your Pro Flowers, that's a great idea, Pro Flowers for the ladies. And for the man, check it out. All right, also... I'd like you to take a look at our Best Of CDs. All of our vintage classic Best Of CDs are there. And we also have our 2000 available for autograph. So the 2000 Best Of Phil Hendry Show is autographed by me. And we've got all of the vintage Best Of CDs there at our merchandise store at philhendryshow.com. So check it out. Security plans are tight for 100,000 fans at Super Bowl. What is that, bud?
I don't know. It's XLV.
Yeah, it's XLV, but what does that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean?
What? That's a number. That's a Roman numeral. Do you know what that is?
Uh-uh.
The L?
Uh-huh.
That's 50. The X before the 50 is a 10.
Yeah, all right. So that means like 50 minus 10?
50 minus 10, exactly. So you have the L is 50, the X is the 10, 50 minus 10... And then the V?
That's the stupidest thing I ever seen.
But just hold on for a minute. What's the V?
Or I don't know.
Robert?
Five.
45.
That's dumb.
It may be dumb, but that's how the Romans did it, man. And you know what? The Romans were so badass that there's stuff that they did that we still do to this day. So you can't...
Yeah, but they only do that because it looks bitchin'. They'd never do that. It didn't look cool.
I mean, it looks bitchin'.
It looks real good, man. Like you could carve that in marble or something.
Yeah, it does look cool carved. What do you mean carved in marble? Well, it does look cool. Super Bowl 45. So the NFL is expecting more than 100,000 fans. You know what 100,000... No, don't tell me. I don't even want to know what 100,000 is in Roman numerals. Because I don't even know how to begin. I know that M is 1,000. Am I right about that?
Don't look at me, man. I don't know.
C is 100, M is 1,000. Anyway, the NFL is expecting more than 100,000. Why do they call it a C note?
I don't know.
$100. Get out of here. The NFL is expecting more than 100,000 fans to attend Super Bowl 45 at Cowboys Stadium and has turned to the federal government for helping secure what can be high-profile potential target for a terrorist attack. How many people can they fit in this stadium?
I don't know. I've been up against 100,000.
Wow. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano joined NFL Security Director Milt Alerich and local law enforcement officials on Monday to detail the plans to safeguard the Super Bowl. Let me ask you guys a question at this particular point. Why should this be the job of the Homeland Security?
Are you kidding, man? Because what are you talking about? They got to, there's too many people.
Well, I know there's too many. I'm not saying that Homeland Security shouldn't have some role in keeping NFL security abreast of threats, let's say. And, of course, they have they're charged with making sure the airways are safe and all of that. But why does Homeland Security have to operate, like, you know, hand in glove with the NFL in this thing?
What are you trying to say anyway? You want to get a terrorism?
What am I trying to say is this, man. How come the Federals have got to be involved in every little nook and cranny of security when it comes to events like this? That's all I'm asking.
Because nobody would go to it.
Nobody would go to it. That means it would be a failure as a business expense or as a business venture, and that would mean the NFL would lose money. Well, they can't do that now, can they? So it's the government that has to secure the National Football League's premier event. So there's all kinds of examples of government that people don't like or will like or could like or shouldn't like. Or we got examples of expenditures when it comes to government that quite frankly, I find unnecessary. I'll give an example. The National Football League has enough money. They got way more money than they need. And they sure as hell have got enough money to create a first ticket security operation around the Super Bowl. I mean, leaving no stone unturned. Now, I'm not talking about international threats, terror threats that come through the FBI and the CIA. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying that on the ground, as they like to say, at the Super Bowl, at the facility, and maybe even in the air directly above it, although that's FAA, I understand, they could create an airtight security situation with the money that they have. But instead, it's up to us.
Yeah, but that's what police are supposed to do.
Is that right? Is that what police are supposed to do? Homeland Security is to make sure that we're not attacked by terrorists. I don't, excuse me for asking the question or making a stupid comment, I don't necessarily put that together with acting as a partner in securing the Super Bowl. And I don't care how big an event it is. It could be the World Series. It could be anything. See, but that's my thing. See, I don't believe that there should be a Transportation and Safety Administration. I think the individual airlines ought to create their own security.
You can't do that because, you know, because if the plane crashes.
If the plane crashes what?
It'll crash into a building.
Well, it crashes into a building, man. You know, there's automobiles that crash into buildings. There's automobiles that crash into each other. You know?
Yeah, but we got a police and everything.
Yeah, but we're not checking out every clown that gets into a car to make sure the guy is okay. We got drunk driving laws. We got more after-the-fact stuff out on the highways than we got any kind of prevention. Okay? Only when you get into an airplane. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano joined NFL Security Director Mitch Alerich and local law enforcement officials on Monday to detail the plans to safeguard the Super Bowl, and Alerich pleaded for cooperation and patience from the tens of thousands of attendants at Sunday's game. We want to ensure the public that they will be safe. Oh, God.
What's the matter?
I don't know, man, but I can see, I don't know, there's something that's just bugging me about this.
What's wrong?
I don't know. There's something that's bothering me. There's something bothering me here, like access to the stadium early. Like, are they going to be? How are they going to get people into? See, you know.
Well, go ahead, talk about it, man. I want to hear it.
Oh well, thank you very much.
Yeah, unburden yourself.
Thank you.
Well, man,
get your feet off the table, will you? I'm just saying, when they start talking this way, have they come up with some kind of a plan, quote unquote? That means that they're going to not open the gates until a certain time, and then you're going to have a lot of people crowding, and then people are going to get really angry, and they're going to be checking and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know what time they're going to open it up for regular football games or anything, but, you know.
I mean, if you go to a regular ball game, like at the Coliseum, and go see the USC or UCLA play, I think the gate opens about an hour and a half, maybe an hour. Yeah, about an hour and a half before the game starts. I mean, you can't just go into the stadium anymore the way you used to, you know, a couple of hours ahead of the game. Fans attending the game will only be able to bring very small items into Cowboys Stadium. Among the prohibited items, camera and binocular cases and camera lenses longer than 6 inches, if you'll pardon the expression.
What's that mean?
It means you can't bring, you can bring your camera in. No telephoto lenses. What's 6 inches? About, well, here, let me just, I'm just kidding. So a telephoto lens is a big-ass lens.
Yeah, I'm not talking about a little tiny lens.
A little lens and your camera. No camera cases. No binocular cases. So you got to have the binoculars hanging around your neck. The league will not hold prohibited items for fans. So if you have binocular cases and you cannot have that, you might as well throw it in the garbage, Jack, because they're not going to hold on to it for you. It's over. All right? Now, how many people do you think are going to forget that rule?
Probably a lot, man. I mean, if you bring on a binocular, everybody brings a binocular case.
Everyone does. That means that you can't bring your binocular case, which means don't bring the binocular lens, the lens cap, unless you want to throw it into your pocket or something like that. The NFL is coordinated with local police and federal agencies such as the FBI to protect the event. The airspace around Cowboys Stadium on game day will be cleared. And Napolitano, who is adding increased air marshals on flights in and out of Dallas and declared the game a level one national security event, said the government is adopting the If You See Something, Say Something campaign to advise fans about Super Bowl security. Do you recall this kind of a security discussion around last year's game?
I don't remember. I don't even remember watching last year's game.
That was a great game last year. You don't remember?
Not really, no.
Maybe I'm just, I'm wondering if the, because I heard that they're, leading up to, at least this month, I did hear a comment somewhere along the lines of, you know, the U.S. is a, remember the threats? They said that there's a high level of threats, there's a possibility of an attack, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you're just weirding out, that's all.
Yeah, you think that's all, Tony?
Tell me what I think. I'm not weirding out. They had Homeland Security last year, too.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, then why didn't you say something, man? Anyway, we are constantly monitoring the area around the stadium for any potential or perceived threats. President Obama said earlier this month that he intended to attend the Super Bowl if the Bears had won in the NFC title game. While Obama has since backed off that, Napolitano said authorities would have to be able to accommodate Obama's presence without a significant change in plans. The president goes to major events like this all the time, Napolitano said. So what you would do is you would take the plan and you would bend it. You would bend it out to include a visit by the president. All right. I just hope that they, that when they ask for patience, that means that they're going to be checking a lot of people going into that stadium, and it's going to be slow going into that stadium, and people are going to be angry.
Yeah, but you're saying it, and you're making everything bad.
No, I'm making everything bad. I know how people are. I just know how people are. One woman goes on television to talk about how she disciplines her kids, and now this dumbass is charged with abuse. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Phil Henry.
PhilHenryShow.com, PhilHenryShow.com. Get a backstage pass, look at live streaming video of our show, and because we are soon to enhance the video stream to a studio production quality level, baby.
Yeah, like effects and everything.
Right. We're going to have behind us, see, what I want to have behind us is not just a studio. I want the ocean, man. I want, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what? I think you ought to have like a volcano or something.
We can do it all. With the video production that we're going to be putting into place here, I can have a volcano behind me. That would be awesome, man.
Like, in reality, you have like an ocean and a volcano erupting and everything.
Yeah. What about porn?
That's right. I'll have porn. I'll have a green screen behind me and porn. What a nut. Okay. Listen to this. This is how sick this society can be. Now, this may go in Bangkok, if you'll pardon the expression. This may go in Thailand, Burma. I don't know. This may be something that's all the rage. I remember when they had that problem. Remember they had that tsunami down there?
Yeah, you were saying that nobody should get no money and everything. People was drowning.
You know something, bud? I still say that. I don't want to be sending money down to Thailand while they got that kid trafficking thing going on down there. You know how depraved a society is? Anyway, pimps, this is happening in our own country. Pimps will traffic thousands of underage prostitutes to Texas for Sunday's Super Bowl, hoping to do business with men arriving for the big game with money to burn.
Who's saying it's going to happen that?
These are child rights advocates. As the country's largest sporting event, the game between the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, by the way, I picked the Steelers to win, and they will, and I don't say that to offend anybody.
I told you you're going to get in trouble.
I ain't going to get in trouble, man. How am I going to get in trouble? People may hate me, but I don't go with my heart. I go with my head, okay? That's the way Phil Hendry goes. I used to be a guy that bet with my heart. Not anymore. That's why, just to give an example of my reputation, I picked the Lakers in five games before the NBA Finals even started against Orlando, called it thank you and good night. That's why, before the playoffs even started last year in the NFL, I picked the two teams, Indianapolis and New Orleans, and I picked the winner, New Orleans. That's why, before the divisional finals even started, I said it was going to be Green Bay and Pittsburgh, and I'm picking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you could be. That was the first time for everything to be wrong.
First time to be wrong, huh? I've been wrong more times. It's only in recent years that I've finally put my heart aside and bet with my head that I'm starting to make some real money, legally, of course.
Right.
So, no. I don't play that anymore. I don't run around and shed tears for some stupid-ass team. Do you remember that scene that I keep telling you guys about in, what was it, Bronx Tale?
Oh, yeah, man, that's the best scene. What do you tell a kid?
You know that movie, Bud?
Yeah, that's the mafia guy, right?
Yeah, that mafia guy. And it's basically, if you guys don't know the movie, it's really a great movie. It was written by Chaz Palminteri, who's an Italian-American actor, and directed and starred in by Robert De Niro, who directed and starred in it, and Chaz Palminteri. Anyway, this boy is torn between two influences. The influence of his father, who is a bus driver, but is an honest man, a hardworking man, who tells his son, don't waste your talent, who tells his son, get home from school, go up there, don't go into the bar, that's where all those mafia guys hang out, I don't want you in there, you know, do your homework. So this is the influence of his father. And then he has the influence of the local mafia crew chief, this guy named Sonny, I think is his name, they're all named Sonny, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, the guy's name is Sonny.
Yeah, I think it was Sonny. Who also is a good influence. He says, nah, this life isn't for you, kid. The kid falls in love with a black girl. He says, you know, it doesn't matter what your friends think. Sonny Lospicio, what are you coming up with that from?
I think that was on a TV.
Get out of here. That's the name of the character? Anyway, so the little Italian kid, he falls in love with this black girl who is from another neighborhood. But Sonny says to him, don't worry about what the other guys think. You know, the way the two of you feel between the sheets. And you go out with this girl, and he even lends him his car. So this guy, Sonny, is a good influence in his own criminal way, you know. Anyway, now I totally freaking forgot what the hell it was I was trying to say. Oh, yeah. He says to the little boy who eventually grows into a man, the Sonny says, you like Mickey Mantle, huh? And the kid says, yeah, I like Mickey Mantle. He said, and you know how these Italian mob guys in the movies, what Mickey Mantle ever do for you, huh? Mickey Mantle pay your rent? No, he don't pay your rent. Mickey Mantle don't care about you. So the little boy's like, wow, yeah, you know. And so when he later has an argument with his father, he says, Mickey Mantle is a chump. So this is the...
Well, which way does the kid go?
Well, at the end of the movie, Sonny dies in a hit in the bar. And so the young man... eventually he's with his father. He never is not with his dad, but he tells his father that he loves him. His dad pays the respect of coming to this guy Sonny's funeral. And the two of those men had been at odds. The one guy's a mafia guy, the other's very honest father. His honest father says to him, you know, I know what you can do to me. I know who you are. I know what your reputation is, but you cannot interfere with the way I raised my son. So he basically throws the gauntlet down. And one of the mob guys says, you want me to have him taken care of, and this Sonny guy says, no, leave him alone. I don't know whether that would ever happen in real life, but it's a moment where a father says, no matter what, he's my son. And so at the end of the movie, when this guy Sonny is dead, Robert De Niro's character, the father, comes and he says, I wanted to pay respects to your friend. And he says, thank you for taking care of my son. So it's a nice movie, you know, but...
Yeah, it said Mickey Mantle's a chump.
Yes, it's a nice movie, but it basically says Mickey Mantle was a chump. Okay, one company has a wine bar and a saloon, another offers Botox for its employees or employers. Is that right? We'll tell you some of the most unusual perks of the nation's best companies. The Phil Hendry Show. Employers.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. For all of your Phil Hendry needs, go on over to our website, get a backstage pass, and you'll get thousands of hours of archives, as well as our podcasts, as well as our uncensored rants, as well as our classic Phil podcasts. It's all there. Alaska mom charged with child abuse after appearing on the Dr. Phil show. Now, here's what she did. Then she goes on the Dr. Phil show, and then she gets arrested. All right. You know?
Good thinking.
Forces her 7-year-old to take a cold shower, drink hot sauce as punishment, and this stupid bitch gets arrested. You gotta love it. You gotta love that. Man. I don't make it come on and she's like, she's all proud of it. Well, I just think that's how dumb some people are. Now, forget the fact that she's cruel and she's criminal. We know this. But to go on the Dr. Phil show, she's so jonesing to get on with the Dr. Phil show, man. She can't. She's risking arrest. Well, not that she knew it. Anchorage, Alaska. Video from the Dr. Phil television show of an Alaska mother forcing her adopted son to drink hot sauce and take cold showers prompted a police investigation that's led to charges of child abuse against the mother. The video has been viewed by over a million times. It's the same thing with anybody that puts a video on YouTube or anywhere else that shows that depicts obvious illegal activity. You're asking yourself, what planet, man? What planet did they take the shuttle from? You know, and when does it leave?
Yeah, was it a round trip?
Yeah, is it a round trip shuttle? Jessica Beagley. Yeah, I'll bet.
What, do a name, Beagle. Like she's a dog.
Yeah, it's real funny, man.
Ha ha.
Oh, you thought it was good.
Not really, no. Jessica Beagley, a 36-year-old mother of six... she's 6 years old? No, I'm kidding. Jessica Beagley, a 36-year-old mother of six, was charged with misdemeanor child abuse in an Anchorage, Alaska courtroom today. She was not present at the arraignment. Her attorney entered a plea of not guilty. A police investigation began after Beagley appeared with Dr. Phil McGraw in November of last year, according to court documents. The segment of the show was called Mommy Confessions. Yeah, Mommy Confessions, all right. Hey, Dr. Phil, why did you turn this woman in?
Dude, I was going to ask that, man. Why didn't he say something?
That's right. That's right, Dr. Phil. Let's listen now. In this video, shot by a family member and then aired on the Dr. Phil show, Jessica Beagley scolds her 7-year-old son for pulling a card, which means the son got infractions in school for misbehaving. Let's listen to this mother talk to this kid after he got this card for misbehaving.
Why did you tell me you did not pull a card when you pulled three? Why did you lie to me?
I didn't
know. You didn't want to get in trouble. Does it work to lie? What happens when you lie to me?
I just pull a gun.
You get hot sauce. What else happens when you lie to me?
I get a water.
Do you get in more trouble for lying to me?
The boy gets tossed in a cold shower as punishment.
What is the consequence for pulling a card?
Cold shower.
A cold shower. Get undressed right now.
Yeah. I can't listen to that. That's disgusting. That bitch ought to be in a prison cell tonight. That freaking bitch. This is when you use pain to teach a lesson. What do you think the kid draws from that? That pain works. In other words, to get what you want in life, inflict pain on people. That's what that child has learned from that no-count bitch. God, man, that pisses me off.
Man, I'll tell you, it pisses me off too.
So you want to smack your kid around? What are you teaching your kid? You're teaching your kid that the way to get what you want in life is to smack people around. Well, brother, you better teach him how to smack good. Because people smack back. I'm not as a parent, I learned from a woman who I think is a great mother, Maria. She used depriving the kids of things. She never raised her hand to the kids. She said, you're not going to get this. Oh, really? Is that them? Guess what? No TV. Guess what? No computer. Guess what? Now, some people may think that's child abuse, but I got a news flash for you. No, it ain't. That's child abuse, which you just heard there. That dirty, filthy bag, somebody ought to take her and shove her in a cage. Give her a cold shower. How the hell? Let me ask you a question, and I'm serious. What is this bald-headed jackass McGraw doing when he's listening to this, other than having his wife scolding this woman on the show? Did you guys call the authorities, McGraw? I love the name McGraw, don't you?
Yeah, but your bitch's old lady calls him Quick Draw.
Shut up. His old lady calls him Quick, probably. Well, what did you do, McGraw? Beagley told Dr. Phil about her difficulty disciplining her 7-year-old. You see, she's a real imbecile, and she probably got beat up as a kid herself. Some white trash. Who knows? We tried a lot of different things to punish the kids. Yeah, I bet you had a lot of fun doing it, too. The mom admits to spanking her kid, forcing him to do jumping jacks until he's exhausted. Did you try anything else, like depriving the kid of a TV show? No, she wouldn't think of that. During the show, the boy is being punished for getting 3 cards pulled. On camera, Beasley is seen pouring hot sauce down the kid's throat as punishment for lying. Then this ugly bitch goes on a TV show. Boy, I bet you there's one thing in this world that she likes more than beating her kids up. Going on TV with Doc Phil. She's leaning over the boy as he sits on the bathroom counter saying, "Don't spit it." The boy can be heard screaming when Beagley forces him to take a cold shower. When he gets a cold shower, I'm at the end of my rope. I just bet that life is tough for you, isn't it? When he gets a cold shower, I'm at the end of my rope. Nothing's gotten the results that I want. She told Dr. Phil her son is the biggest stress in my life. Yeah, well, guess what, lady? It ain't nothing compared to what you are in his. Biggest stress in your life. Your kid, you'll be lucky if that kid doesn't hate your living guts by the time he turns 18. You want to know why kids pick up guns and blow their parents' heads off? You've heard about that, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah? You think they do that just because, some kids are sick. Some kids are psychopathic. There's a lot of reasons why kids are messed up. And some of them just don't like their parents. Viewers flooded the Anchorage Police Department with calls after the show aired. Now, this show, I'm telling you right now, the Anchorage Municipal Prosecutor said in court documents the behavior in the video violates the Municipal Code protecting against child abuse. Anchorage Municipal Prosecutor Cynthia Franklin said the discipline of the boy was not reasonable. The stun, the shock, the acute anxiety can also lead to long-term type of post-traumatic stress disorder that we often see in criminals who are incarcerated. They're good people caught up in a bad situation, Peter Ramgren, one of Beagley's defense attorneys, said. Child Protective Services has done a complete investigation and found no evidence of abuse of the other child. If they believe it was a dangerous situation, they would have removed the children. Okay. Nothing Jessica has done is criminal. If you give your child food that has hot sauce on it, maybe they can eat Mexican food. Will you come on, clown? She's doing this as a means of inflicting pain on this child. All right? Now, you want to spank the kid? That's a way of inflicting pain on a kid, but you're not supposed to raise any welts. Maybe throwing that hot sauce down his throat, maybe that's one way of abusing a kid when it doesn't leave any sign. How about that? Beagley's husband is a patrol officer of the Anchorage Police Department. The family's active in the Mormon Church. The couple has four biological children. They adopted twins from Russia. The boy seen on the show is still in his parents' custody. The family adopted the twin boys when they were 5 years old. The boy seen drinking the hot sauce is one of the adopted children. Naturally. You dirty old bitch. Don't give me your Mormon. I'll bet you anything, those two little Russian kids, boy, I bet you they just, you probably get your cookies torturing those two kids because they're not yours. They're a couple of little ragamuffins from Russia. Couple little adopted ragamuffins from Russia. God knows what horror they came from in Russia, and now they're ensconced in a nice, happy American family in Alaska getting cold showers and hot sauce shoved down their throat. Kid probably thinks he's in hell. Anyway, his treatment has sparked further concern about the adoption of Russian children by American family. Boy, I wouldn't blame him. If I were the Russian authorities, I'd look at that and go, what the hell are we doing? Last year, a Tennessee woman put the... Remember that bitch that put that little boy on a plane back to Russia? And I mean, there wasn't anybody to meet him. He had no idea where he was going, why he was going. She just stuck his ass on a plane like he was a broken vacuum cleaner. Like it was a parcel she was sending back to the manufacturer. Why do people want to have kids if they hate them? If you hate children, if you have a problem with children, why would you want to adopt them? Other than the fact that you want to torture them. I understand that. I get that. And if they ever find out about you, boy, I'd love to watch the flogging. If it were legal. But some of these people will adopt kids because it gives them some other kid they can torture. You know, I read the very first book I read. It was really ironic, too. You know, the very first book I read when I got to Minnesota was Death at White Bear Lake. Did I tell you guys about that?
Yeah, about that little boy.
Yeah. Death at White Bear Lake was about two little boys, one of whom I think was adopted. In any event, they were adopted by this couple in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, back in the early 60s. And the little boy, the youngest of the two, was so badly beaten and maltreated by the mother, the adopted mother, or adoptive mother, he eventually died from his injuries. Now, this is the early 1960s, and doctors didn't call the cops in those days. They'd look at the injuries. Well, I guess he fell. What happened? He fell. Oh, okay, he fell. He's got like 9 million fractures. His face is beat to a pulp, but he fell. Okay, well, isn't that too bad? He's dead. 3 years, 4 years old, dead. Beaten to death. So life rolls on, time rolls on. The woman that gave this little boy up for adoption, I guess it's the case in many instances, can't get the little boy out of her mind. She wants to at least know what happened to him. Did he wind up okay? Is everything all right? Can I maybe see him? I don't have to meet him. So she goes to White Bear Lake, and she asks about this little boy. And she finds out that not long after she gave this child up for adoption, he died. Now, this is the 1980s now we're talking about. We're well into the 80s, a time when this child should be in his 20s. He died. So she wants to know, well, what happened? And she finds out, and it begins to, like a lot of these things in life, it begins to just sort of gnaw at her. She doesn't quite believe it. She doesn't quite get it. It doesn't add up. She goes to the White Bear Police Department, and she meets up with a young cop, a guy who was very young, maybe the same age as this little boy that was killed, and they reopen the case, and they re-interview everybody, and they re-examine the evidence, and they go to the house where this now elderly couple lives, and they arrest this woman for murder.
Did they put her in prison?
Yep. They put her in prison. They convicted her for murder. And that woman went to Stillwater Prison in Minnesota. I don't know if she's still alive. I think she died in prison. Or maybe she died. Maybe she got out. I don't know what kind of a sentence they gave her. But they did convict her, and they did send her inside. So,
man, a lot of those stories, man, will come out. You know, when they find out about it later on.
But that woman, that I couldn't even listen to that, man, that Alaska mom. And I'm going to ask this question again. This jackass, and I know these guys, these doctors on TV, they're not worth a pinch of, because I've seen them in action in Radioland. I've seen psychologists, radio psychologists. I wouldn't go to see them, man, to get directions to the bus stop. But these people, they make a name for themselves. Now, this guy McGraw, he's a doctor? Do you think he knows the law?
Well, maybe not a, you know, maybe not Alaska law or something like that.
Well, even if he were unclear, if this is called mom confessions, we're obviously hearing from women who are having a, you know, maybe a problem with what they did, or they're feeling guilty about it. I mean, this bitch doesn't sound like she's repentant at all. Don't you think that guy, that McGraw, should have called somebody?
Yeah, I probably think McGraw put a call up, and maybe he just said, I'm McGraw, you know.
He said what?
Maybe he just said, I'm McGraw.
Yeah, he should have said it's Dr. Phil.
What are you guys talking about?
The cops wouldn't know.
He calls up and says, I'm McGraw?
Yeah.
Will you get out of here? I'm not fooling around, man. I'm serious.
I don't know.
Well, then somebody ought to find out. You know, these guys, they sit there raking in their money, doing their TV show. I mean, are you doing any real work there, Dr. Phil? This woman sat down and showed you a videotape of her torturing her kid. Anyway, we'll be back here in our world-famous Phil Hendry show. Sorry, I didn't mean to get bent out of shape. Unusual perks at some of the country's best companies are coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry show, philhendryshow.com.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I didn't get bent out of shape. McGraw.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now, next up on Dr. Phil, now, how do you discipline your kids? All right. So, the I learned all about waterboarding on Dr. Phil. Yeah.
You don't think you're going to waterboard a no kid or anything like that, do you?
I don't know. How do I know? How do I know how sick these freaks are out there? Oh, Dr. Phil, I got such a hard time. You know, the other day I was walking to the front door. My kid happened to be sitting next to some metal stairs. And, well, you know, yeah. Oh, thank you for the film footage. You're right. We can use that. You know, the more I'm hearing about Dr. Phil from my staff here, from Mr. Rance, from Robert, and from Bud, the more I think you guys should call the Dr. Phil show and find out why doesn't he just present himself to the local gendarme.
You tell me they got to go to the cops?
I think you should walk in and, hi, I'm Dr. Phil. I understand you guys probably want to see me about something. Well, what's that, Dr. Phil? Oh, God. I filmed this. And then I filmed this. Oh, you hit the bell at the end? Yes, I did. So.
Yeah, you're laughing about it.
Well, I'm laughing so I don't cry. I laugh, Bud, to keep from crying. Unusual perks for employees, 11 best companies. Botox from Chesapeake Energy. A wine bar at DPR. CNNMoney.com compiles an annual list of 100 best companies to work for based on annual salary, the employee atmosphere, commute to work. Of those companies, CNNMoney.com has now compiled a list of the unusual perks that those employers offer. So here they are, from 11 to number 1, the most unusual perks. Are these unusual perks, or are they good perks? I guess they're unusual perks.
Yeah, but I guess they're going to be good.
All right. Number 11, Chesapeake Energy. Not only do employees of the natural gas producer have access to a 72,000-square-foot fitness center and parent-child yoga classes, the company accommodates their sometimes parental needs in disciplining. I'm joking. No, they accommodate their cosmetic health needs as well. The on-site medical center offers a full range of dermatology services, including cancer screenings, lesion removal, and even Botox injections. And the company's fitness center has 7 tanning beds as well as a spray tanning capability. Wow.
Man, that's great.
That's marvelous. A fitness center from Chesapeake Energy. Number 10, Morningstar. Plenty of the best companies to work for offer sabbaticals, but few have a program as robust as Morningstar's. The investment information company gives employees 6 weeks paid leave every 4 years. Beautiful thing. Although in Germany, the law says you have to have 6 weeks paid leave every year.
You blew it!
Number nine, Cisco. For employees without time to bring their cars in for a tune-up, the tech giant brings a car care company to the office twice a week. Employees can leave their cars with mechanics for an oil change while they work. Number eight, Microsoft. You figure Microsoft's got to be up there.
They probably got a lot of bitching stuff.
Lots of best companies have office complexes with coffee shops and even company credit unions, but none can match the Commons, the splashy year-old hub of Microsoft's Redmond campus. The all-out shopping mall has 23 shops and restaurants, including a spa, a bicycle repair shop, and a pub. Number seven, Kempton Hotels and Restaurants. Never heard of them. Have you ever heard of these guys?
Never have.
Employees at Kempton's pet-friendly hotels needn't worry about leaving their animals alone at home during a long workday. Hotel staff can bring their pets to work, provided they play well with others, and leave them with outside pet care specialists. The company is also partnered with PetAssure to offer employees veterinary health insurance, and the pets get access to the company van to drive it to and from. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're kidding or not.
No, I'm not actually kidding, bud.
Yeah, the pets can drive, man.
All right. Hasbro, Mattel, number six. It's all fun and games every... What did I just do? Number six. Hasbro and Mattel. It's all fun and games every Friday at both of the nation's leading toy makers. Each company gives employees summer Fridays, a half day, all year round. Bitchin'. Number five is DPR Construction. A wine bar is installed in all 17 of the construction firm's offices where employees can pop a bottle of red to toast major accomplishments. Or a project's completion. The only exception is the construction company's Texas branch, which features an in-house saloon instead.
Whiskey.
Well, I can't finish this list, but we will. Maybe tomorrow. Technical direction by Rick Johnson. And, of course, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. And the show is produced by Jason Rantz. I'm Phil Hendry. PhilHendryShow.com. Get your ESP, baby.
Phil Hendry.